When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 304, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Taking it until 5 o'clock and the warm-up show. We got Fleegs on the other side, and we got you right here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. So, yeah, we open with the Mets and the positive nature. I know negativity sells, but for me, the negativity is so overblown with the Yankees that for me, the positive thing about the Mets and the idea that this season is back on and they are a game and a half out and they swept the Padres and had a winning homestand and thrust themselves back into the conversation, we can talk about the Mets again. We can talk about the Mets as a team that could compete. We can envision the Mets in the postseason. So I'd rather start there than with the idea that the Yankees have somehow shown you a fatal flaw. That the season's dead, that the team can't compete, that it's the same as 2020, the manager sucks. Like, it's just crazy. You people are crazy. Having said that, that was an ugly two games. And the Yankees absolutely have holes. And the Red Sox, leave it to the Red Sox, let's be fair. The Red Sox exposed them more than any other team has this year, even Baltimore. Baltimore just beat them. It didn't feel like leaving that series, it was anything other than Judge still wasn't hitting. What's going on with Judge? They didn't score enough runs. You know, Rodon was terrible. But, hey, you got Baltimore beat you. That's what it felt like. It feels like leaving this Red Sox series, wow, major issues with this Yankee team. And I admit, it does feel like that. Because having 9 stolen bases, if you haven't heard, a franchise record for a franchise that's been playing for 1,000 years, just broke their record for most stolen bases in a game against the Yankees last night with 9 stolen bases. Now, Duran and Hamilton are speedsters. They run pretty well. And Trevino, like I've been telling you for a long time, I've been saying it all year, he looks slow and tired defensively. He is not nearly the Platinum Glove winner from 2 years ago. And if you look at his numbers, he is throwing it like 72 miles per hour on average, which is horrendous for a catcher. His pop-up time is slow. When you take in all that to account, he is the worst catcher in baseball as far as throwing. Now, his numbers weren't terrible at throwing base runners out, miraculously enough, but he got embarrassed last night. And the Red Sox showed a glaring weakness that both he and Stroman have. And I think this might be the last time, especially against speedsters, as we'll do more of the preview of the series tomorrow night for a 5-hour midnight ride, as the Yankees will be off tomorrow night. And we will get more into previewing this very big, very big Baltimore series at Yankee Stadium this week. I'm going to try and get to a game at least. I better get my fat ass there. I'm going to be pissed at myself. I'm going to find a way to get to a game or two, although my son's playing football. But like against the speedier teams, I don't know if Stroman and Severino can be the battery. I don't know how much better Wells is at throwing out runners. Now, look, in today's day and age, it's harder to throw out runners than ever. Whether it's the amount of times you can throw over, whether the bases are bigger, whatever the case may be, it's harder than ever to throw out base runners, or at least, you know, in recent memory. And it's a major problem for the New York Yankees, as well as their bullpen. And right now, their bullpen, especially if Clay Holmes is going to blow a save, you'd feel better about it if that didn't just happen. And I still feel pretty damn good about Clay Holmes. I'm not there yet. But the rest of this bullpen, you know, Weaver, who gave up a couple of inherited runs in this game, if he's not on top of his game, the rest of this bullpen is kind of a bunch of guys you don't really know how you feel about right now. Marinaccio was killing it in AAA. We saw him last year have a real good stretch. This year, after, you know, coming back to the team, has been okay at best. Hamilton is not nearly the same pitcher he was last year. Ferguson is not Wandy Peralta coming out on the left side. Gonzalez has been better, I guess, lefty. But Right now, this bullpen is, you know, not been great. And Canely has had his moments, but ultimately, he's not someone right now I feel uber confident about. The bullpen is lacking arms. And we talked about this, and this was going to be a place that the Yankees were going to have to address. They have to address their bullpen, and then they have to address first base. And obviously, that's the other story point coming out of this game, besides being beat by the Red Sox, losing 2 of 3, having 9 stolen bases, and Trevino being embarrassed behind the plate, and though Stroman did him no favors. Obviously, Rizzo leaves the game with a lower arm injury, whatever the hell that means. He took some imaging initially right at Fenway, everything negative, but he's in a bit of pain, and they're going to take more tests. But ultimately, that's a position, a corner infield, that we talked about it too. They're going to have to upgrade. And the bottom of the lineup struggled in this game. The game is absolutely, the game is won and lost in the seventh inning. To break down the game, Judge hits the home run. They give up some runs. They have an opportunity to get back into the game in the seventh inning. They have bases loaded, nobody out, after Rizzo runs into the pitcher and hurts himself and gets taken out of the game. We'll talk about Rizzo in a second. But this game is won and lost in the seventh inning. Bases loaded, nobody out. And right now, I know I've been a defender of Gleyber Torres. I still don't think there's any way to trade him. I don't think it makes sense. I don't know how they do it. And despite what I'm about to say, I don't know if it would be an addition by subtraction type thing. But having said all of that, that freaking at bat was hideous. That was the worst at bat of the season. Bases loaded, nobody out. The pitcher on the ropes, he works the count to 3-0 and takes 2 fastballs down the middle. And the 3-0, I get. But you are down a run with the bases loaded. Down a run with the bases loaded. I understand it's 3-0 and then 3-1. I have got to put the ball in play. I can't strike out. It's the one thing I can't do if I'm Gleyber Torres. I have to tie the game at the bare minimum. He takes 2 fastballs right down the middle. The one, it was a cutter on 3-1. That's the one that bothers me because it's right down the middle. Hit the ball hard somewhere. And then he swings at a slider in the dirt that I don't think was a strike the second it came out of the pitcher's hand. It was an atrocious at-bat, followed by a miserable at-bat from Trevino. And then, obviously, LeMahieu laces one to center field, but ultimately right at the center fielder. And that's where they lost this game. And if you look at it, this lineup had an opportunity with the bases loaded the other day. They came out like gangbusters and scored a bunch of runs in the first game. These two games, the offense didn't come through. And the pitching hasn't been good. And Carlos Rodon is going to be a storyline. I know it heading into the series because he's had 2 bad starts all year. And both of them are in the division, once against the Red Sox and once against Baltimore. So here's the narrative that he doesn't pitch against good teams or important games. And somehow, because the Red Sox won these 2 games, the Red Sox will be thrust into the category of good teams that the Yankees can't beat. If the Yankees beat them and smoke them, the Red Sox are awful this year. Just look at the numbers. They're terrible. They can't hit. They're awful. But because the Red Sox won these 2 games, now the Red Sox are a quality team, and the Yankees don't beat quality teams. But inside the division, they've been bad this year. They have an under 500 record against the American League East, and that has to change as well. And last night, that game is extremely frustrating watching the Red Sox run all over them. Now, everyone seems to think that Boone somehow got outmanaged and Boone had a terrible game. I'm not really sure what you want him to do. Take out, you know, put in Wells and take out your catcher. I mean, I suppose he could do that. Stroman's slow to the plate, and he's slow to throwing it. It's a bad combination. And hopefully they learn from it. And if you want to say that's a bad job by him to put it in there against the Red Sox, to put in Stroman and Trevino, fine. I'm open to that because they are both. He's slow to the plate, and Trevino's been awful getting the ball out of his hand from behind home plate, as bad as anyone in baseball. So it's a major problem looking at some of these speedier teams. And yes, Baltimore is one of them. I don't think the Yankees are going to give up 9 stolen bases a game. I don't think this signals to the rest of the American League, you can run on the Yankees at will. because a lot of the rotation is left-handed. You're not going to run on Rodon. You're not going to run on Nestor Cortez this way. And Luis Gil's been really quick to home plate, throwing 100 miles an hour. I don't think you can run like this against Luis Gil. Stroman and Trevino are a bad combination that got completely exposed last night. Completely exposed. And that's what this Red Sox team has to do. They're not going to beat you to death. They're not going to knock the ball around the ballpark. They're going to play small ball. They're going to steal bases. They're going to put the ball in play. Devers could beat you like that, but that's about it. But this Yankee team has got to figure out something with the... There's no doubt it's an issue. The bullpen's an issue. Holding runners on is an issue. And now first and third base are an issue as LeMahieu continues to pretty much do nothing. And now Rizzo, who's probably going on the IL. And that's the question. What do the Yankees do in the short term? Now, I would like to see Ben Rice be called up and play a little bit. I think that makes more sense than, say, bringing up someone who's, you know, able to play third base and move LeMahieu over to first, or, you know, that I could see that because Ben Rice has just been called up to AAA, the catcher slash first base prospect who's killing it offensively down in the minors. I don't know how they're going to handle it, but Rizzo's been a problem, and now we're going to find out if he's injured or not after running into the pitcher and just falling down, which is one of the weird... I'm sorry. The idea that he really hurt himself... He's got to do a better job of learning how to fall because there's no reason he should be hurt. But anyway, this was an ugly two games against Boston, but we get so hung up on this stuff. It's two games. They're the only team in Major League Baseball with 50 wins. They've beaten the crap out of everybody. The Kansas City Royals are better than the Boston Red Sox. They went into Kansas City and took care of business. The Cleveland Guardians are a better team. They took care of Cleveland. They've won against good teams. This narrative is so dumb. They had two bad games against Boston, no doubt. No doubt. And I understand the news. I saw the Fliegelman sent me the Daily News cover to the back page is going to be, so bad, so bad, so bad. Yeah, we get it. It's a dumb song. But so bad. This Yankee team is now so bad. Please, we got to stop. We got to stop. And stop making everything about Aaron Boone. Did Aaron Boone have a good game? No, but did he have a bad game? What'd he do? They didn't come through with the bases loaded, and the catcher he has in the game on his roster can't throw. What should he have done? Move the mound closer? But this is a big series against Baltimore, and the Yankees have got to figure it out. But Gleyber Torres is a problem. Listen... I've been saying it for a while. I don't know how they move him. Gleyber Torres is on his walk year. I don't know where you can trade him for anything that will help you. I still think offensively he's kind of come around a little bit over the last 2 weeks. That was a hideous at bat. Hideous. I'm still seething about it. It was a horrendous at bat. But ultimately, I don't know what you do with Gleyber Torres other than ride this thing out for the year and then say goodbye. I don't even think you give him the qualifying offer in fear of him might taking it. Like, I'm done with Gleyber Torres, but I just don't see how they can move him. How do you move a player on a down year who you're going to have to pay next year and get quality back when you have to trade him to a contending team who's not going to want to give you good players? Like, it does, are you going to trade Gleyber Torres for prospects and just move on from him? Because that's really the only way to trade for him. You're not going to trade for him and make this team better. I don't see how that works. You could trade him and try and get prospects. I don't know how high-level prospects you're going to get, but you could try and trade him and get prospects and then just promote from within. Or move LeMahieu to third base and play Cabrera and try and trade for another infielder. I suppose you could do that. I just don't see it. I don't see getting anything for Gleyber Torres right now. But that at-bat was terrible last night. Terrible. And he has been, unfortunately for him, a losing player. He has been. He's been a losing player. He makes mistakes at the worst time. He gives you the worst at bats at the worst time. He has been an absolute... I mean, from 2019, when he was an all-star, 2019, when Gary Thorne couldn't believe how many home runs he was hitting against Baltimore, he has just been a disappointment. Now, last year, he hit 25 home runs. He had an 800 OPS. He was their best hitter. That guy is just, we've seen him too few and far between. And mix in all the boneheaded stuff and the at-bats he gives you like last night. Now, Stanton's going to give you bad at-bats when he's going through a tough time. Stanton's going to swing at sliders. Stanton's going to swing at pitches in the dirt. Stanton's going to take fastballs down the middle because he's guessing. Like, that's Stanton when he goes through a slump. But at least when Stanton is going well, he can carry you. Stanton can hit some home runs, driving some runs. Gleyber Torres, when he's going well, it's a couple of singles and it's great, but it's just not enough. And that at-bat last night was just, it's the worst at-bat of the year. They had an opportunity to win that game right then and there. The game completely changes if they tie or take the lead. And instead, they lost two games to Boston. But now we head to the biggest series of the year. For me, again, I'm different than most fans, I suppose. These are an easy two games to put away. They have 50 wins. They're 24 games over 500. They've done all of this without Gerrit Cole. The lineup is completely different. I know the bottom of the lineup isn't great. Whose bottom of the lineup is? The middle of this lineup with Juan Soto. This team is completely different. They're the only team in Major League Baseball with 50 wins. They're in first place, and they're heading into a huge series against Baltimore. So for me, you can call me up at 888-808-1019 and tell me how all these things carry over. The ugliness of this game is something other teams will latch onto. Boston has given a playbook on how to beat the Yankees or other nonsense you want to talk about. The fact of the matter is the season starts anew on Tuesday. And they're going to have to only a game and a half up on this Baltimore team that doesn't freaking lose and took 3 out of 4 from Philadelphia. They're going to have to find a way to play their best baseball in this series against Baltimore because you can't follow it up. You can't follow up those two get losses in Boston and fall out of first place. The Yankees need to hold on to first place. This will be a huge series for them coming up. But ultimately, yesterday was just a poorly played game. It happens. They play 162 of them. Tony in Brooklyn. What's up, Tony?
Yes. Hey, how are you doing? Great show.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Beagle thing, but before, just to stay on the sports, you don't think that was a flaw now? Do you think the Yankees got to get some kind of catcher who can throw?
No. I guess I'd like to. I'm open to that idea. Let's see. It was one night. I mean, it's one night where they gave up 9 stolen bases. But, it's a lot.
Right.
It's historic.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. It was ugly. It was embarrassing. They even have the one where he doesn't like in the. They have the lead in the third inning, or is it the second inning, and they don't throw through. And Boone said later on that Trevino just didn't get a good glove on. He got Dom Smith stealing a base on a double steal instead of throwing through to second base. Like every aspect, whether it was not being good enough to throw anybody out, whether it was not making the throw when you clearly could have thrown somebody out, like every aspect of the run game and so much of the, you know, the dynamic between Stroman and Trevino was embarrassing last night. The Red Sox ran all over them. It was an embarrassing loss, the worst of the year, in my opinion. That's the worst loss of the year because of how they were outplayed by a Red Sox team they're better than. And they've had heartbreaking losses, but this one is the worst loss of the year. The Gleyber Torres at bat, the inability to score a run with the bases loaded. You lose Rizzo to an injury. We'll see how significant it is or what they do to replace him. Might actually be a blessing in disguise, I suppose. But you lose Rizzo. You get embarrassed on the base paths. You get outplayed by the Red Sox. You have bases loaded, nobody out in the seventh inning to have an opportunity to blow the game open. You can't do it. Then you immediately give up runs in the back end of the seventh inning. Like, it was just an embarrassing, embarrassing performance. They got thoroughly outplayed. The Red Sox played their game, and they took it to the New York Yankees.
Right. Now, what I'm saying, by the way, remember, I heard it on the radio today, the last time this happened, 1915, Ty Cobb.
Yeah.
Now,
no, I mean, it takes. They've been playing forever. 9 stolen bases in a game is utterly embarrassing.
Now you don't think these other teams are going to try to?
Of course they are. What do you think? The other teams didn't give a damn. Like, this is what makes me laugh. Do you think the teams before his numbers? Baseball is, they have scouts on top of scouts looking at everything. He's been throwing 72 miles an hour all year long.
Yeah,
like this, his pop-up numbers have been bad all year long. This wasn't just like, wow, Trevino stinks at throwing out runners. These numbers have been, every team knows this. The Boston, Hamilton, and Duran run really well. Like, yeah, not every team is capable of doing this, nor is every pitcher as bad at getting to home as Stroman. It's just a bad combination. When you say with Nestor Cortez on the mound, you're not going to be able to get leads like this against Nestor Cortez, the left-handed pitcher. Same thing with Rodon. And Luis Hill throws 100 miles an hour. It's harder to steal off of him as well. Like, I don't think now all of a sudden the Yankees are going to give up 7-8 stolen bases a game because the rest of the Major League Baseball watched this last night. I think that's ridiculous. What, the other team's not trying up until this point? You don't think they try to steal bases or care?
Well, I guess they don't run the way this team runs.
Right. No, and listen, I expect, and I'm going to let you get to your Beetle point, but I expect Baltimore to run, no doubt about it. I expect Baltimore to try and push them. Baltimore's young. Baltimore's got some speed. I expect Baltimore to try and run and steal bases. But you know what? I expected that even if they didn't give up 9 stolen bases last night.
Yeah.
Like, that's how Baltimore plays the game. Trevino's not great at it. I'm sure Wells would be in there for, you know, a portion of the series. And again, you're going to face pitchers who aren't as slow to home as Stroman is. Like, last night was a perfect storm. It was embarrassing. I don't think it's something it's something they need to get better at. It's something that's something they need to work on. I don't know how Trevino gets better, but Stroman needs to get better holding runners on and going to first base and going to home quicker. But I don't think this suddenly opens up the floodgates that nobody was aware that Trevino has a tough time throwing runners out, and that all of a sudden this is going to be like a light bulb moment for the rest of Major League Baseball and the American League. I don't
believe that. That's what I worried about.
I don't believe that. They look at everything.
The other catcher, can he throw?
Wells, yeah. I mean, he's slightly quicker and throws a little bit harder, but no, not particularly great defensively. No, that's the reason. I mean, their concern was before coming up was whether or not he was an actual catcher. They knew he could hit, which he hasn't.
Yeah. But,
I mean, that's another thing. I saw people, again, I'll make the point after the Beatles point. What's your Beatles question real quick?
Oh, yeah. So what were you talking about? The Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the first song they had that didn't go number one in America.
It was Penny Lane, right?
Yeah, Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields.
Yeah.
And
I think it was beat out by Wooly Bully.
What's it?
And
you know, in the books they said maybe because Strawberry Fields was a weird song, blah, blah, blah.
No, I think Strawberry Fields was a number one hit, and I think Penny Lane didn't reach number one in America.
Yeah, but either way, it was one of those things. But what you're talking about, they used to have the Strawberry Fields at Penny Lane thing. They call what the Beatles used to show their song. They used to call it a promotional clip.
Right.
And they showed you the Strawberry Fields and the Penny Lane.
They invented the music video.
Yeah, so they some guy in the book, the Elvis book, Jailhouse Rock was the first video. No, that was taken from a movie.
Yeah, no, absolutely, of course, I agree with you. Those things were scripted and acted just for the music video, for the promotional music video. I agree. They also did Rain. They did a set for Paperback Writer and Rain. That was like in some weird place, but yeah, I believe the song. Because I've watched the Beatles anthology because it was like the best $72 I've ever spent in my life. So I've watched those Beatles anthology DVDs. And I believe, because he was asked, I guess they made a comment about if they didn't reach number one, they would stop making songs, something stupid. Well, they were misquoted to believe that. But I think the song that beat out Penny Lane for number one, that Penny Lane couldn't get to number one, was Wooly Bully. Wooly Bully! Wooly Bully.
Howdy, Tomatty! About a pantry song.
That hit number one and not Penny Lane. So,
Wooly Bully.
Hello. Rocco.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Chris, how's it going, Chris? Hey, no panic. Yankee fans.
No panic.
They win every game. They think it's a, you know, crisis. It's a crisis. Boston took 2 games. Oh, it's all over.
It's all over.
We're not that good. Come on. You know, get real. Okay. Obviously, Rizzo is going to be out, which is good. Now we got to do something, right? Good. He's out. Do we bring up the kid from the minors? Yeah. Do we shift someone around? Do we trade for someone?
What do you think? Well, they're not going to trade for anybody.
Too early.
They're not trading for anybody. So the question will be, Do they call up? I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be Dominguez anyway, I don't think, not with a Rizzo injury, but Dominguez is going on the IL with a oblique injury. I would think, you know, the question is where some of these guys are, because some of their other prospects are middle infielders. You could get away with playing, you know, bringing up another infielder who could play third and playing LeMahieu at first base and then rotating Cabrera and whoever they bring up. You know, I check if Peraza, what Peraza is doing. We haven't heard from Peraza. I know he was dealing with the arm. I think he's back and playing, so I'll double check on Peraza.
Okay.
But, or they could bring up Ben Rice, which is what, and bring someone who actually plays first base. I don't know where they would go. I don't know. I honestly don't know where they would go.
I think
they should.
Do they think bringing Ben Rice up now, it's too early? He's not ready?
Yeah, I mean, they did just move him up to AAA, and thank you for the call, Rocco. They just moved him up to AAA, so he hasn't had a lot of AAA experience. And typically, yes, the Yankees like to go by the book on these things. You want to have a certain amount of time at AAA. You want to, AA, then you want to have a certain amount of at-bats at AAA. They forewent that with Volpe last year, and ultimately, from what you saw, I mean, he struggled, and maybe he's better for it now this year, but last year was a struggle for him. Whenever you make the jump, it's a struggle. So he hasn't had a lot of at-bats, but I'm open to it because he might be a legitimate, if he comes in and plays well, now you can have a legitimate first base option. Because, again, LeMahieu hasn't shown me enough. I told you, I was very concerned about LeMahieu. I said that if he was the player he was from in the second half, I could see him hitting leadoff. And as now, Volpe is kind of slumped here for a little bit. If DJ LeMahieu showed that he was the player from the second half of last year with a .370 on base percentage, I would have thought about moving him to the top of the lineup. But I also told you I was concerned we'd never get there because we've seen DJ try and handle a nagging foot injury. And he, you know, it's early. He did hit a ball hard in this game in the seventh inning, but he has not exactly looked great. Defensively, he's okay. Not a lot of range, but he'll make every play hit to him. I mean, but offensively, he doesn't look like the bottom of the lineup right now is lacking. Although Trevino hits the home run. And by the way, that's what I wanted to say. I saw a lot of people get on Boone for not pinch hitting Trevino in the seventh inning. With Weissert on the mound, who's a tough right-handed slider guy and probably a tough at-bat for Trevino. Trevino has been so far better offensively than Wells, it's not worth discussing. He also hit a home run earlier in the game. Wells is hitting 200. I like Wells, and we'll see what he can be for this team moving forward, but right now he's not hitting. I'm not going to take out my catcher, and then if I have an injury, I don't have a catcher to bring in, what, a left-handed hitter who hasn't hit all year? Because he's left-handed versus Trevino's hitting 270. Trevino's hitting 270 and hit a home run in the game. Wells is hitting 200, and you want him to come cold off the bench, and Boone's an idiot for not making that decision? And I would have been more open to Cabrera, the left-handed hitter, but he pinch ran for Rizzo when he got hurt. So that option wasn't there. I'm not emptying my bench so I can get a 200 hitter up there. Trevino has to have a better at-bat, plain and simple. Trevino has to have a better at-bat. Gleyber Torres has to have a better at-bat. That at-bat's atrocious. If he comes through with a base hit, they win this game. That's where this game was won and lost. Kevin in Saratoga Springs. What are you hanging? Are you hanging out with Rocco?
Yeah, must be.
Yeah, it must be the two of you hitting the town. What's going on?
Oh, I didn't hear about the previous caller. So there was a previous caller where talking about Penny Lane, Strawberry Field.
Yes.
And probably in reference to something you said earlier, but I hadn't heard. If you hadn't mentioned, I thought this might be of interest. Penny Lane, Strawberry Fields was originally supposed to be on the Sgt. Pepper album.
Correct.
Okay, I didn't know. I did mention that.
They were the first two songs of the Sgt. Pepper recording sessions.
Of those sessions, yeah. Correct. George Martin said it was his biggest mistake. He made few as the Beatles producer.
What, not putting it on the Sgt. Pepper album?
Yeah, Capitol was pressing them for a single, but he regretted it not being on Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah, I mean, if those two songs are on Sgt. Pepper, it's. It does elevate the album, I guess, but hey, they needed songs from Magical Mystery Tour. I think we'll all live. George Martin also complains that there's too many songs on Abbey Road. I mean, excuse me, on the White Album. And I love George Martin. I do. I respect the hell out of him. He's extremely influential in the greatest band in rock and roll history. I'm a big fan. Which songs are you taking out exactly, George? Huh? They're Beatles songs. Don't you dare take a single one away. He wanted to just make not a double album, just cut a bunch of songs and just put one strong album forth. He thinks there was too much fluff on it. I don't care. They could sing Honey Pie all day long. I don't care. 3:33, McMonagle here with you. I don't know what we're talking about anymore. A lot of Beatles conversation, which I love, on Father's Day especially, because, as I said, my father, who I lost when I was 19, and he was unfortunately 49, impacted my life in many ways. The Beatles, obviously, being one of them, influenced me, really all of my passions, quite honestly. Almost all of my passions have been influenced by my father, whether it's the Beatles, Lord of the Rings, who he used to, as we walked to my grandmother's house, or my grandfather's house, really, from our house in the summers to go to their pool in the backyard, he would have me on his shoulders and he'd be reading The Hobbit to me. And then, of course, sports, as he was a Yankee fan and a Giant fan. And, you know, his passion for sports obviously left an indelible mark on me. I chose it for a career. So on this Father's Day, or what was Father's Day, I hope you had a chance to speak to your father. I hope you gave him a call if you didn't get a chance to see him. Tell him you love him, because one day you will not be able to do so. And take it from me, those days are tough. It's a tough day to go through. As I'm trying to be with my children, I'm thinking about my father. But, yeah, a lot of my passions in my life were handed down to me from my father. So on this Father's Day, make sure you tell your dad you love him. Because I know we don't say it as much. You tell your mom you love her a lot more than you tell your dad. But you should. Because, like I said, one day he won't be there. I'm jealous. I have a... Like during the Knick playoff game, a buddy of mine texted me with a picture of him and his dad going to the Knick game. I was like, I never had that opportunity really late in life to do things like that. So hug your dad, tell him you love him, make him a card too. Stop spending money at Hallmark. These cards are ridiculous. I don't care. I'm a grown man. I will make you a card with a crayon. I do not care. I will fold a piece of construction paper and write some of the nicest poetry you've ever heard, if need be, but I am not spending $8 on a greeting card. It is not happening. Sorry. Sorry for all of you future holidays, honey, on Valentine's Day. I don't care. One, I have the kids, so that's the easy thing. If it's anyone in my life who, like, knows my children or likes my children or my children know them, that's easy. A card from the kids. But I will personally do it. I will get a green piece of construction paper, and I will take out an orange crayon. I don't care. I am not going to Hallmark to buy some stupid little card that says meaningless words that I still have to write a personal note on anyway for $8. Not happening. But I hope everyone had a great Father's Day. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls. Again, the New York Yankees got absolutely embarrassed in Boston. Some of their glaring holes, the few holes that this team does have, but they are there, were full on display in Boston and in Fenway as they get ready for a series against Baltimore. As they get ready for the biggest series of the year thus far, as they only lead the Orioles by a game and a half, as this team that seems to never lose, this team that's the only team in Major League Baseball with 50 wins, this Yankee team that's been as hot as can be and all the superlatives we've thrown at them, just are coming off a miserable series against against Boston, and take on the only team that's right there with them, as they are only a game and a half. As well as they've played, the Orioles have been right there with them. Just took 3 out of 4 from Philadelphia, and it's going to be a big series starting Tuesday night. But right now, when you look at this Yankee team, Cashman does have things to do with the trade deadline. They do have some holes. They do need some things fixed. There are problems like Gleyber Torres and Trevino and the bullpen and Rizzo and LeMahieu. That's a lot of holes for a team that's won 50 games And yet here they are playing good, solid baseball for the most part and getting ready for the biggest series of the year. The Mets, the season's back on. We'll take your Met calls as well as we opened up the show talking about their winning ways. Won 9 of the last 11 and have thrust themselves right into the wild card conversation. As now they are only a game and a half out of the final wild card spot. And with this offense awakening, anything is possible. And then again, I will tell you the biggest nonsense NFL comparison that has driven me up a wall all weekend.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Woo! All right, 344. Mick Monaco here with you. 888-808-1019. Other injuries in baseball. The Dodgers have been hit now with the injury bug as what once seemed like a collision course. World Series, Yankees-Dodgers. The Phillies got off to that great start. But this super team is now taking a hit as we found out on Saturday, I believe, that Yamamoto, is down with a strange rotator cuff, and that could be a while, the starting pitcher. He's going to be gone for a while out of that rotation. And then Mookie Betts breaks his hand or his wrist with a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. And right now, those Dodgers, every team's got holes, my friend. Every team's got holes, and now the Dodgers have a big one as Mookie Betts, obviously an just a huge part of that Dodger team to go along with Yamamoto. Now, honestly, how good? Let's be fair. I mean, who knows what his career is going to be, and he was off to a good year, but it almost feels, just because of the addition of Luis Gil, it almost feels the Mets a little bit different, although, again, we don't know who had a legitimate chance at them. It sounds like nobody, right? Just the Dodgers. But the Yankees, at least, really feel like maybe they, especially with wanting to sign Juan Soto for the future, it feels like maybe they caught a break not signing Yamamoto. As good as young as he is, as long as his contract is, it's not Tommy John surgery or anything. It's a strained rotator cuff. He'll be back in, 2 months or something, but it just feels like the emergence of Luis Gil helps with all of that. It helps with, not making that. It helps with everything and how good he's been. And that was really the other storyline of this series. I mean, Carlos Rodon, it's going to be a storyline, rightfully so. Because Carlos Rodon, as much praise as I've hyped on him, and I think he heaped on him, and I think he deserves it. He was terrific. He's been terrific all year except for two starts. And the two starts are in the division. The two starts are against Baltimore and the Red Sox. And so it's easy to say, hey, look, when the games are their biggest, all of a sudden the Red Sox game is, huge. If they won these games, nobody would care. It wouldn't matter. Oh, they beat another bad team. The Red Sox aren't very good. But because the Red Sox won, it's some sort of proof of certain things. But we're going to have to find out because I have to admit, it is odd that the two games he's struggled against are against the divisional rivals. He was awful on Saturday. He was awful. I mean, he couldn't throw his two strike pitches were just right down the middle. He got ahead and then was just making mistake after mistake after mistake. And that's going to be a talking point because as we get into the playoffs, Rodon is without question in the playoff rotation. There's no question. Right now, at least as far as I'm concerned, they better figure out a way to get Luis Gil to the finish line as a starting pitcher. But you've got Cole, who's coming back soon. I don't think his next start will be in Baltimore. I think that will be Petit for one more, and they'll throw another minor league game with Cole. But it's going to be Cole, Heel, Rodon, Stroman. That's your starting four come playoff time. And right now, the issues with that are, one, I do think as much as he's been good all year, and he's faced good lineups, it's not like he hasn't pitched well against good lineups, but Baltimore was the most pressurized series of the year so far, and he failed in that start, and then his first start in Fenway this year, and he failed that start. So there's going to be a thought process of him in under the spotlight, not necessarily against good lineups or right-handed hitting lineups or whatever. It's going to be, hey, when the lights are bright and these games are at their most important, he hasn't shown up. And so that's going to be a talking point. And then Stroman right now, clearly, holding on runners is an issue. We can point to Trevino all we want. And he is throwing the ball 70-something miles an hour, and he's got a slow pop-up rate and all of that. That's all true. He's bad at it. I've seen it from day one. Like, to me, two of the defensive things that have been apparent since the beginning of the season was Rizzo struggling at first base and Trevino nowhere near the platinum glove player he was 2 years ago. Nowhere near. So we could blame it on Trevino. He took responsibility himself, but Stroman's got to do a better job at holding runners on. And right now, that pairing, that battery is a disaster as far as holding runners on. Now, try not to let the light hitting, you know, Hamilton on base. That would help. You know, he gets on three times in this game. He gets two hits and a walk. Maybe don't allow him on the base path that much. That would help. Try and get Duran out once in this series. That might help. But with Stroman on the mound and Trevino as the catcher, that is a bad combination of not being able to hold runners on and a catcher who can't pop up and throw the ball with any velocity or speed. So they're going to have to figure that out. They're going to have to figure out if Rodon is a pitcher who could pitch in the brightest lights. But listen, everyone's got weaknesses. And I think there's like a misconception across the fan base. It's almost like there's two camps. And no one lives in the middle when I think everyone lives in the middle. But the two camps are the Yankees, hey, they've won 50 games. They've had a great year. Quit complaining, right? And I fall more into that camp, but there is a middle. And then the other side is, don't you see all these holes that are going to cost us come playoff time like they do every year? It's going to be the same thing. We got a manager I don't trust. We got this kind of problem. The back end of the lineup. The bullpen isn't good enough. Can't you see these glaring holes that we're not good enough to win with? And I think it's like you have to pick one or the other. When the reality is this Yankee team is very freaking good. And this Yankee team, in my mind, is the best team in the American League. But that doesn't mean they're perfect. Yeah, they're going to, at the deadline, have to add an infielder, I think, at this point, a corner infielder. Unless they bring up, because of this Rizzo injury, bring up Ben Rice, and he's terrific, but they're going to have to add an infielder. It might not be a superstar, but they're going to add an infielder. And then, they have to add some swing-and-miss bullpen relievers in the back end of the bullpen. There's no doubt. They're going to have to do that. But again, we never look at it from any other standpoint other than this team's not good enough. Look at, you don't think Baltimore has holes? If they don't, why aren't they winning more games than the Yankees? And we'll find out the series, I suppose. But, like, the Texas Rangers, the defending champs, stink. Seattle can't hit. Everyone tells me everyone in the Central stinks. The Dodgers just lost Mookie Betts and Yamamoto. The Phillies just lost 3 out of 4. To the Orioles. Like, nobody's perfect. But, you know, it's just you lose a couple to the Red Sox and suddenly the season's collapsing. You get embarrassed on the base path. And they did, no doubt. They got embarrassed. And hopefully that wakes them up. But I don't think that's some, you know, portent of things to come. Doesn't mean they're going to lose every series. Doesn't mean that, you know, the Red Sox have just, you know, given the blueprint to the rest of the American League. It's ridiculous. They live in the middle. They're one of, if not the best team in the American League, who can still improve. Like it's not that hard or complicated, but it's almost like you got to hate the team or you got to just go overboard with how great they are. But when they're winning, and they play the way they've played, I mean, I'm pretty excited about the team. I don't know about you. They're 24 games over 500. Again, For me, it is easy to put away that loss in Kansas City. It's easy to move on from this Red Sox series. It's easy. They're in first place. Plus, you don't have time to wait. You got Baltimore right around the corner. I'm much more intrigued in this Baltimore series than a team that's 13 games behind the Yankees. This Baltimore series, and it's going to be a big series for Aaron Judge. And I'll tell you right now, and we're going to do more of this when we have a little bit more time tomorrow on a five-hour midnight ride as we prepare for this series. There's one guy I'm looking at because he's the most important player on the team. He's the best player on the team. He had a miserable series the last time they played. Miserable. And honestly, I thought he didn't look great in this series. I know he hit a home run yesterday. I thought there were some at-bats he just missed baseballs. Obviously, he struck out four times the last game of the Kansas City series and his first two times in this Boston series. He struck out a little bit. You know, even that ball that he hits over the monster was just he got underneath it. It's just he was able to hit it over the monster. But this series against Baltimore is big for Aaron Judge. Not that it, you know, will diminish who he is or what he is, but if this team is going to be special, he needs to be special in the big moments. And I think a lot of the fan base is a little uneasy about him against good pitching, about him in big situations, and him in the postseason. And this is going to be as close to a postseason game as they will get until they play in October.